verse 11. That was the purpose for which we were created. We were created to bring God pleasure. And in order for us to do that, we have to be right with him. We have to be in a condition to where we can worship him in spirit and in truth. Just because we are created in the image of God does not mean that we're in a position to worship him in spirit and truth. Okay, there is an order that must take place first. Okay, in Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to be going over a lot of scriptures, so if you would join with me in looking at these, we're going to listen to what the Word of God has to say. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, it says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And part of hearing the Lord say that, we need to understand that in order to be faithful, to be a faithful servant that the Lord is pleased with, we must obey his word. Okay, with our heart, because God looks on the heart. He doesn't look on the outward. You know, we can come and we can attend in services whenever the doors are open, whenever the appointed time is. But if our heart's not there, okay, and we come out of duty or obligation, okay, God is not going to receive that from us. Okay, we must enter in with all of our heart and worship the Lord. Come together for the purpose of worshiping the Lord. Okay, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Okay, is a church important to the Lord? Well, he shed his blood for his church, to purchase his church. Okay, so it is important to him. Okay, if you were to give up your life for a purpose or for a goal, okay, whatever it might be, that would be important to you, wouldn't it? Okay, it was important enough for you to give up your life. Well, Jesus did that for us. And he did that for his church. His blood was shed to purchase his church. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Okay? The Lord wants to receive glory, the glory that's due his name, through Jesus Christ in the church. Okay, so how does God receive glory in this world? How can God receive glory from us? By being a part of his New Testament church. Okay, and the scripture tells us that we first must be saved. Okay, by the grace of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, and so when a person gets saved, that's not all. Okay, then God wants us, according to his word, to be scripturally baptized by one of his New Testament churches that have the authority to baptize in his name. Okay, and it must be done scripturally. In order for us to be in a place to where we can give God glory, we have to come in the manner in which he prescribes, according to his word. And that is in and through a New Testament church. Okay? In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 5, says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Okay, so who is he speaking to in this case? It's to the Lord's people in his New Testament churches. Okay, and he tells us that we are lively or living stones, And we are built up a spiritual house. How are we living? How are we alive? By Jesus Christ. He makes us alive spiritually. Okay? The Bible tells us before we get saved, we're dead in trespasses and sins. Okay? But when we put our faith and trust in Christ and his sacrifice for us, that he paid to purchase us, to redeem us from our sin, then he makes us born again. He makes us children of God by faith in him. And it says that we are those who will come according to his plan, according to his order, within his New Testament church, okay, that we are lively stones, built up a spiritual house, okay? Yes, we're physical beings, okay? But God has made us spiritual, okay? Spiritually alive, okay? We are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, okay? For what purpose? To offer up spiritual sacrifices that's acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, okay? So is it important to faithfully serve God inside of his New Testament church, okay? What is going to please the Lord? How are we going to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Okay, by faithfully serving him according to his word. And if we don't, then how can we hear him say, "Well done"? Okay, how can we be pleasing unto him? So we must do it according to his word. Okay, and if we are going to hear him say, "Well done." Okay, faithful church attendance is the very least that we can do for our Lord. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony to those things which were to be spoken after." Okay, so faithfulness. We see the servant of God here, Moses, he was faithful. He was faithful to his God, okay? And the question we should ask ourselves is, are we faithful? Can that be said of me, that I am a faithful servant of God, one that honors God with my life, one that is a good testimony, as Moses was here? We have this testimony of Moses and his faithfulness, okay, to God. So we should seek to honor the Lord. We should seek to give God glory and honor with our life. In order for us to do that, we have to do it according to God's word. And in that, because the Lord's appointed a New Testament church in order for us to faithfully serve him in, that he can receive glory and honor in, that we should be faithful in attending his services to worship him, okay? Again, we can come together physically, but where is our heart, okay? Do we come together for the purpose of honoring the Lord, of worshiping him in spirit and in truth? Or do we come out of duty or obligation, or what other people might think if we don't, okay? So in order for us to be a faithful servant of God, we must do so with our heart. And as we do, God will receive that if we come according to his word. Okay, in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things, which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Okay. Is it unreasonable for the Lord to expect for his people to be obedient to his word and to come together faithfully in his church and to worship him and to take up responsibilities within the service, okay, to be willing and ready to be used of the Lord at whatever in whatever capacity we might be called to do, be it an usher, to be deacons are a calling, pastor is one that is called and appointed by God, okay. Every aspect, we have teachers, we have sound booth individuals who run the sound system. We have many needs. We have cleaning appointments to each family, okay? That's responsibility in the church, okay? Work days, I mean, the list goes on and on. There's so many things that we can do, but in order for us to do it, we should do it from our hearts in order for God to receive it. And he is worthy of that. Okay. In Psalm 77, verse 13. Says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Where is God's way? It's in the sanctuary. Okay. It's in the assembly. It's in our coming together in his name. It's not this building, okay? It's the membership, those that God has added to the church, okay? When we come together in his name, in his authority, he is the promise from God's word is that he is there with us. He is in our midst through the Holy Spirit, okay? You know, we don't see him, but he's here. Okay, can I say that? Because of the promise of God's word. You know, if we could physically see him right now, what do you think our attitude would be? Okay, I think we would all bow before him, especially with our heart, and give him worship and honor. Okay, but the promise is from his word is that when we assemble together in his name, that's by his authority, okay, in a New Testament church, it says that he is there with us. Okay. So where do we find that? Matthew chapter 18. Verse 20. Jesus speaking, he says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Okay, so we know that Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, is at the right hand of the Father, okay, making intercession for us. Okay, so how is he here with us? Through the person of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which he came to give us. Okay, when he said he would give us another comforter, which would lead us into all truth. And where the Father is, the Son is. And where the Son is, the Spirit is. They're in unity. Okay, so the Spirit is here, and Jesus is here with us through the Spirit to give him honor and glory. Okay, so when we come together in church capacity, we should come together with that attitude that he's here with us because his word promises that he is physically with us, okay? So is it important that we come together and faithfully come together and worship the Lord? And how can we do that if we're not in attendance, okay? If we don't find it important enough to commit our life and our busy schedules and all the things that we do, if it's not important enough for us to set that time aside to do that, then that tells us that our heart really isn't where it should be because we have been purchased by his blood. and he deserves nothing less than our faithful service to him. We need to come together faithfully so that we can encourage each other, that we can help to build up one another in the faith, okay? Through the teaching of God's word, through testimony, through song, okay? To be an encouragement to one another to stay faithful to the Lord. Brother Mike, when he comes up here and speaks, he often says, I'm so glad that it's Wednesday, okay? Because it gives me a chance to get out of the world and come to be with God and with his people. To be an encouragement, okay? We should be that kind of an encouragement to one another, okay? And the scripture tells us that we are to love one another. In John chapter 13, starting in verse 34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And again, considering faithful church service, or faithful church attendance, okay, how can we express that love one for another, show that love one for another, if we don't come together and are faithful in God's services, in the church's services, okay? So is it important that we're here, you know, the purpose for which we come here is to worship the Lord, but also a side benefit of that is we can show encouragement to our brethren through our faithful service to the Lord. We can, others can, and they may not even realize it, but when they see us here faithfully serving the Lord, that's an encouragement to them to also do the same. So it is important that we show love one for another and that we come together as the scripture tells us. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrews had not been coming together for the purpose of worshiping the Lord in church capacity, and they were being encouraged and admonished for the purpose for which God had called them out as a church to do, okay? And they had not been doing that. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves or ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Okay, there's that coming together and encouraging, exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, what day? Well, there's coming a day when the Lord's coming back for us. Okay, will we be faithfully serving him when he comes? When the trumpet sounds, what will we be doing? Okay, will we be in the midst of faithful service to the Lord? Hopefully we are. We see many churches disband, cease to be the Lord's because the individual church members just gave up. They stopped seeing the importance and the need for coming together in faithful service. So will that happen to us as a New Testament church? Will we be faithfully serving God? Well, that's a choice that we must make individually, okay? And if we cease to faithfully teach the word of God and practice it, okay? If we don't earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, then we will cease to be the Lord's, okay? So it's important that we, as the Lord does, see the importance of a New Testament church and faithfully serving God in that church. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Starting at verse 12. Okay, I've got to find the right chapter here. 3. Starting in verse 12, it says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as you do, as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Okay? You know, the Bible tells us to stand. And when you've done all to stand, then stand. Okay? To earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. You know, to watch. That doesn't mean to sit down and look up. That means to be active. To be actively obeying the word of God and serving the Lord. Being a testimony. Having a witness. Sharing that witness. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that we come in contact with. Be an encouragement to one another. You know, when we stand up in the services and we share a testimony, our testimony of our salvation, okay, or a situation that we've come in contact with someone and we shared the gospel with them, that's an encouragement to me. I'll admit that, okay? When I hear others actively share what they've been doing in sharing their faith with others, what the scripture says, okay? That's an encouragement to me to do the same thing. And that's what we should be doing, is encouraging each other, strengthening each other. For what purpose? To faithfully serve the Lord, okay? Says, we are, I have my notes here, it says, we are not to be loners, but to be in unity with the brethren, okay? Ephesians chapter 4. Starting at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Okay, so how important is it that we all come into the unity of the faith? And how can we do that unless we are faithful in assembling together? Okay? We must see the importance of faithful service, of faithful attendance. You know, I mean, obviously there are things that arise, things that come up that keep us that's beyond our control. But if it's important to me to be in the Lord's house at the appointed time, okay, it's going to reflect in the choices that I make. Okay, that importance, that priority that I place upon it will make itself evident. Okay, and what is that a reflection of? It's a reflection of how I feel about my Lord and the part he has given me the privilege of being a part of and being a member of a New Testament church, to where he can receive glory and honor and be pleased with my service, and where he can be pleased with your service. Okay, so it's a matter of how important is it to me? It is obviously important to God. Okay, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, Ecclesiastes 4 and 12, it says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Okay, so what is that talking about? Well, in Numbers, okay, a three-strand cord is hard to break. Okay? We gain strength from one another. Okay? Our faithful service to the Lord is an encouragement to each other. Okay? We're stronger together. And it's important that we come together, that we show that love and encouragement and admonishment towards each other, that we might strengthen each other and to encourage each other to continue on. Ephesians chapter 6. Starting verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Okay? So, after having done all to stand, then stand. Okay? And as we come together faithfully and worship the Lord together, we encourage each other to do that. We can see our brethren standing. We know that they're experiencing fiery darts of the devil, okay, in our daily life, okay? But through their strength and through their encouragement to continue and not give up, to trust the Lord, as was brought out by Brother Mike in his readings there, that the Lord delivers us from our fears, all of our troubles, okay? And when we come together and we share those things with each other, it's a strengthen. It's a strengthening encouragement that we receive from each other. Okay? Satan wants to tear us apart. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Okay, we have an enemy. He hates us. Why? Because God loves us, and he hates God. Okay, so therefore he hates us. And he wants to destroy us. He wants to pull us down. He wants us to become ineffective in our service to the Lord. Okay. But if we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. We can resist the devil, and he'll flee from us, the scriptures tell us. Okay? So, how important is it? Well, if we're not being faithful to the Lord and doing as he instructs us to do in his word and not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, okay? If we find ourselves rebelling against the Lord, okay? And not being obedient, okay, we're not in close fellowship with the Lord, okay, we're going to be easy prey for Satan. He's going to attack us, okay? So we need to understand that we need to be strong. And how are we strong? We're strong through the Lord as he strengthens us, okay? So we need to understand we have an enemy, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Okay, the Lord is stronger, and I need to rely upon him. Okay? All right, so I think I'm going to try to close this up here pretty quick here. I've been up here a while. We come together to hear the message God has for each one of us from his word. In John chapter 14, in verse 26, says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Who was Jesus speaking to? He was speaking to his church. Who did he send the comforter to? He sent his comforter to the church. We see there in Acts chapter 1 how the Spirit came and took up his office work as comforter and gave the church gifts, okay, for which he had a purpose for them to have and to use, okay? And he came to his church as that comforter to give us understanding, to teach us the all things that the Lord has for us to know, okay? So when we come together in church capacity, in church services, okay, and the word is preached, the Holy Spirit is there to give us understanding if we're open and available for him to do that. Okay, if we have not tuned him out, if we have not, if we humble ourselves before him and make avail our attention and our thoughts toward him, okay, he will teach us all things, okay? And, but if we don't come together in church capacity, if we fail to do so, how are we going to receive that from the Lord? You know, we need that. There's a purpose and there's a reason for it, okay? And God knew that. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 25, says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Okay? By the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Okay? So, the church. Okay? Christ loves his church. He gave himself for his church that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Okay? With the washing of the water by the word. Okay? So as the word is preached, it's preached with power. Okay? It's preached with the Holy Spirit giving us understanding it through the comforter, through his office work as comforter. Okay? Brings us to a place of conviction. Shows us where we fall short, where we need to repent, where we have rebelled against God, so that we might be cleansed from our sin. Okay? Not talking about salvation, okay? We're talking about our service, our daily life with the Lord, okay? We can still be out of fellowship with God if we don't follow in accordance with his word. So we need the word of God preached and taught to us, so the Spirit can bring conviction of our sin, so that we can humble our hearts before the Lord and repent and allow him to cleanse us, okay? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's important that we come together to assemble together, not forsake the assembly, as the manner of some is, okay? But to allow the Lord to teach us, to guide us, to convict us, to draw us, and to bring us to a place where we can have our sins cleansed, okay? And have close fellowship with him. So with that, we'll go ahead and close. Brother Mike, let's see. Brother Spencer, do you have a song?